Runner on the go, and we've got a lot going on for you today. We have some tips for getting back into training after a really long layoff due to illness, injury, or maybe some work situations. We also have a contest winner announcement, and that's happening towards the end of this podcast. And the meat of this podcast, I'm happy to announce that I have an interview with one of the few Filipinos who went to Kona, the Ironman World Championships this year. And so we get it straight from the horse's mouth, how the whole race went down and what's up next for him. I did ask some of you earlier in September to give me some questions, anything in particular you'd like me to write about, like training tips, troubleshooting, and reviews. And I managed to find a common thread in all of these questions. So a lot of these questions dealt with finding the time to train, whether you're a very busy person or someone coming back from hiatus. I think it's all about creating good habits and celebrating each step forward so you become more motivated to continue. So some tips to help you get started training again. You have to start with short and easy sessions. When you're first getting started in a new workout routine, having that consistency helps create a rhythm that will make things easier. So waking up earlier at the same time every day to complete a training session, even if it's a short one before heading to work, can make training an integral part of your day. Alternatively, you can also train after work before going home to avoid the heavy traffic during rush hour. And when you start off with easy sessions, your body is able to adjust to the new physical activity, so you don't need to take a day off to recover from sore muscles. Sure, you'll still be a little sore, but it's not going to set you back too much. Second tip is you need to set challenging but reasonable goals. So if you're coming from zero, don't expect to run a full marathon in a month's time without suffering a lot. So instead, set shorter goals that you may not be able to do now, but that you can achieve with training. So if you're really a zero, a 3K race in a month's time is probably a good goal to start with. Especially for those with limited time to train, you have to consider the amount of free time you have versus the amount of time needed to train properly for your goal race. You really have to adjust properly. Third tip, listen to your body. I always say this, because we often feel we're being heroes for gutting through a really long session or completing intense training despite not feeling well. There are times such things break you down instead of building you up. So if you had a tough session, take it easy the next day to allow your body time to recover and absorb the work you've done. For long runs, it can take up to 2 weeks to see the benefits of training. So I don't really see the need to keep doing successive long runs every 3 days or so, which some friends of mine happen to do. And last tip, remember why you're doing the training. I started running because it helped me stay fit, lose some weight, and it was a lot of fun. And some people, they try to stay fit so they can live longer and with more quality with their loved ones. And others run because competition is their livelihood. They make money out of it. So on the days you feel unmotivated or think you can't be bothered to train, go back to the reasons why you started doing this. They are usually compelling enough to get your butt off the couch. Okay? So that's how to train or how to find time to train. Remember, as they say, kung gusto may paraan, kung ayaw may dahilan. So if you're the kind of runner that uses music to help motivate them through a tough workout, check out my new training playlist on Spotify. The link is in the show notes. I think you will really enjoy it. Somebody actually tweeted me that they tried to use the training playlist for their long run and they ended up running too fast. So use this playlist when you're really trying to get through an intense session. Don't use it for the sessions that you need to take it easy, okay? You can access Spotify on your mobile phone by using Globe's GoSurf service, which gives you 6 months of premium Spotify. So I have been drooling over the Wave Hitogamis, the Mizuno Wave Hitogamis, but due to port congestion, it only hit stores sometime around mid-September. But I was really excited and I got my pair right away. The Wave Itagami is the shoe that Javier Gomez has been winning world championships in all year. He won the ITU World Championships, and then the week after, he won the Ironman 70.3 World Championships. Okay, so a Hitogami in Japanese means human god. This means the actors in traditional kabuki theater who put on face paint to quote unquote transform into gods. So by extension, putting on a pair of Wave Itagamis should make one feel godlike when running. Okay, so having used the Wave Sayonara for quite some time, getting into the Hitogamis felt a little strange because of the lower heel drop. It's 9 millimeters from heel to toe versus the Sayonara's 10 millimeters. In the Hitogami, my heel sat lower to the ground. In general, I felt a little more in contact with the surface underfoot than I did with the Sayonara. Let me tell you, these shoes are beautifully light and responsive. There's minimal structure in the forefoot, although the heel cup keeps your foot in place quite nicely. Now, because of the smaller heel drop, it aids runners who land midfoot. A higher heel drop encourages heel striking. So the Hitogami is a shoe that's great for light runners with good mechanics. For a guy like Coach Miguel Lopez, who's been training and racing in neutral shoes for years, the Hitogami is a godsend. So he's actually going to run the Osaka Marathon in them. But since I've been using more cushioned trainers like the Sayonara and the Wave Rider as well, if I want to run longer in the Hitogami, I would need to break my body in gently on them. So I did a 10-kilometer run in the Hitogamis 2 weeks ago. Felt pretty good. Let's see how things go. I'm really taking it easy because I don't want to feel any aches and niggles in my joints or whatever. One place I really loved using the Hitogami on is the track. Regular training shoes always feel clunky to me on the tartan in the track ovals. Because the surface is softer than the road, my Sayonara, with all its cushioning, feels really mushy underfoot and not very responsive. But on the road, that cushioning is really perfect with the Sayonara. So the Hitogami is light on the feet and firm underfoot, which really enables me to bang out the track sets without feeling like I'm sinking into the track. I've already figured out that I'm using the Sayonara during my long training runs and long races, and the Hitogami on the track, and maybe potentially during very short races. Now, this is for you triathletes. Please don't forget to register for the Bataan International Triathlon happening on November 29 to 30. That's already just a little over a month from now. And it's going to be based out of Las Casas Filipinas de Acuzar in Bataan. So I've been there many years before when it hadn't been open to the public yet, and it was a beautiful place. Imagine running a triathlon through Calle Crisologo in Vigan or through Intramuros in Manila, and that's what's going to happen at the Bataan International Triathlon. So do check it out. You can register on their website, bataaninternationaltriathlon.com. I'm going to be there. It's going to be my lead up to Challenge Philippines. It's a challenging course, but it's quite short. You can always choose the shortest option, which is the Rapido. Or if you like a little bit more challenge, then you can do the Largo. Or if you don't feel like committing to a whole swim, bike, run, then you can form a relay team. Yeah? So I hope to see you there. Now, speaking of triathlon, one of its biggest events happened a few weeks ago, the Ironman World Championships, and that is always held in the tiny town of Kailua Kona on the Big Island of Hawaii. And it's a bucket list for a lot of triathletes to get there, whether they qualify at a race by winning an age group and getting one of those qualifying slots, or getting in via the Kona lottery, so you buy tickets. Or maybe even through the Legacy program, in which you have to complete 12 or more Ironmans and then enter a separate lottery. The guest I have coming on the show today is one of the Filipino winners of the lottery, and I'm really glad to hear from him how he felt about the whole thing. So without further ado, here's my interview with Mr. Gadrick Chusenfu.
Hey guys, so I'm here sitting with a Kona finisher, which it was actually his first iron distance ever, Mr. Gadrick Chusenfu, or the Chosen Few. Hi Gadrick, how are you?
I'm fine, Noel. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
And this is the first time I'm actually interviewing an age grouper like myself. Because the first time I did an interview, it was with two pros. So, but this time, I know that I'm speaking largely to people just like us, so I want them to hear perspectives from people just like us. So, what were the circumstances surrounding how you went to Kona? Diba, there's a special lottery.
Yes.
So, what was that special lottery for? I know it's not held every year.
For some reason, Andrew Messick, the CEO of Ironman, gave the Philippines 2 slots for the lottery. If you win the lottery, you get the chance to compete in the 2014 World Championship.
Okay.
So, I bought 2 tickets for a particular lottery, and I won the slot.
How did you feel when you won your slot?
It didn't really sink in right away. I remember the day they announced the winner. I even forgot that it was the particular day they were supposed to announce the winner. I came from a bike trainer workout that morning. I left my phone in my house, and when I got home, I saw like 50 missed calls, 20 new messages. I was wondering who was calling me that early. But then yun, I checked my phone and I saw people congratulating me, and yun, that's it.
You didn't do the Iron Distance before this, right?
Yes.
So what possessed you to take a chance on this? It's a World Championships, right? So you're basically racing against the best in the world, plus lottery winners, plus legacy athletes, those who've done 12 Ironmans or more.
Yes. I've done 5 70.3s already, and I never intended to do a full Ironman distance ever in my whole triathlon career. I mean, I never imagined doing that full distance. But since it was Kona, the World Championship, that's where Ironman started. I think the first Ironman there was held during the 1980s.
I think something like that.
1978, because it was in Oahu.
Diba? So, and then they moved.
They moved to the Big Island. So, yun, I told myself, sige, if it's Kona, then why not? Why not give it a shot? Diba? Make it my first Ironman distance. Maybe first or maybe the last. So,
at least, if it's the only one, at least it was that one.
Yes, exactly.
It sounds like myself and Challenge Rock.
Oh, hi. We have the same experience almost.
It's a... It's an opportunity of a lifetime, so why not take a shot? So you raced alongside 2 other Filipinos from here, but there was also another Filipino from the US. But you raced with 2 other Filipinos, si Joseph Palisok and William Vito Beto.
Beto, William Beto.
Si William Beto. And you raced for Bantayan.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that come about?
The project in Bantayan was actually started by Sunrise Events. I think it started this year when Sunrise Events invited several pros who joined Cebu. What they did was they donated some funds, and they were able to build, I think, 14 houses already.
It was a whole street.
Yes, a whole street. Ironman Avenue, I think the name
of
it is.
Yeah, Gawad Kalina.
Gawad Kalina.
It's a GK village, and they built the whole street.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we thought that it would be nice if we continued the project to build more houses. And it's a good thing that William is very passionate about the whole project, and he was actually the one leading us to continue the project and make it better.
So, I mean, that's great because you're doing something that's a milestone for yourself, but then you're also doing it for something outside yourself. Okay, so what was it like being in Kona on race week?
It was one of the best experiences I've ever had. I arrived in Kona around 7 or 8 days before the race, and I joined all the events leading to it. So I joined the Hoala training swim, which gave me the opportunity to swim the whole race course before before the race itself. I also joined the annual path run. It's a 10-kilometer run which takes us to Ali Drive. That's just the first 10K also of the race. And the very popular underpants run. I think they broke the world record this year.
It was kind of funny because the initial report said that they missed it by 50 people.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm not sure because eventually it was like, yeah, we broke the world record. Mm-hmm. So I think they finally tallied everything. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
What was good about the underpants run? Was that... apart from the original participants, when the spectators saw us running, they actually joined in the run. So I think there were more people now who finished the underpants run, so which made them reach the target.
Yeah, the underpants run was really actually, and it started because all of the foreign athletes would come over for Kona. They were. Always just in their trunks or whatever, and it offended the sensibilities of the locals. So they started the first underpants run just to show how silly it is to be running around in your underpants, practically your underpants. So, yun ang mushroom yun. What did you guys wear?
Well, I wore boxers lang sa mahiya ko. Si Will, yun, he wore briefs. But there were a lot of people there in costume, which is really nice. Even I think Apollo Ono joined, former gold medalist.
In speed skating.
Yeah.
Galing nga, he did the whole race in like 10 hours.
So,
you know, if you're a world class athlete in one sport, what's to say you're not a world class athlete in other sports?
Yes, exactly.
What was the most memorable thing for you coming out of that whole experience?
Well, definitely finishing the race is the most memorable. Pero, and the whole course was really beautiful. I saw all the pros make. They were on the way to the transition to, and memorable. Well, meeting them, of course.
The Ironman Village. Expo thing.
Oh, it was really overwhelming. Because I got a condo just 200 meters from the expo area. So I was there all the time, like the whole day. I just, you know, walk around the expo, get free stuff, talk to the pros, talk to all the people there. It's really nice. But I really felt the community of Ironman triathletes in one place. I felt belonging to that community. And it's really inspiring to have that feeling.
What was the most difficult part of the race?
The most difficult part of the race, actually, it was exactly how my coach Ige Lopez mentioned to me, that during the whole race there will be up and downs. So ako, I felt a lot of downs, and it was really hard to get back to my regular race after having experienced a lot of technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties?
Because I crashed my bike not 2 days before.
Oh, okay.
So I only found out that my seat post was... No, not seat post. My saddle was twisted. Parang one side was leaning.
Okay.
Was lower than the other. So I had to bike the whole course with that saddle.
Okay.
So it was just in my head the whole time. I was just in my head a lot. I think that's the challenge of Ironman. You're just in your head a lot, and just really have to make most out of what comes out of your race. Parang, you know, people say that what matters is how fast you get up after falling. So para experience that like 100 times during the race. I kept on falling and just kept getting up. And eventually I finished. So parang that's what's really fulfilling.
What went through your mind when you crossed the finish line?
I was really hungry actually when I crossed the finish line. I was really hungry. Steve, what are you gonna have for dinner? Pero it was better than what we actually see on video on YouTube. Diba on YouTube you see like all the people cheering, you cross the finish line, and Mike Riley shouts,
You are an Iron Man.
You know, so as usual, mispronounced my name. But I was expecting that already. So the moment I crossed the finish line, it's very emotional. Very emotional moment for me. But I remember that it's been a very long year for me. Parang 2014 is very long year for me. And it was really nice to finish it with that particular race. And definitely also, I thought, you know, what's next?
That was actually my next question. What's next for you?
What's next for me? I actually signed up for several races already. I signed up for a lot of fun runs to maintain my aerobic base. I signed up for Subic 70.3.
Okay.
I also planned on signing up for Vietnam.
Okay.
That's I was actually planning on doing 226 this year.
Okay.
Kasi after finishing, when I was in the airport going home to Manila, I felt that withdrawal. Alam mo yun, parang I felt parang medyo depressed. Parang withdrawn from the whole festivities. I want the feeling to go on. That's why I was thinking, see, when is the next full distance? I want to do it right away so I get the feeling again. But I ended up not doing it because I don't think it's healthy anymore.
There's too little
time.
Yeah, it's too little time. Yeah, especially since this one was your first
Iron Man,
and then you want to see how your body recovers before you do anything else.
So yeah, I plan on doing Langkawi.
Okay.
In 2015, I plan on finishing all Asian IM distances before I move on to the US, maybe Australia.
So in Asia, we actually have Langkawi, we have
Taiwan.
Taiwan.
Japan.
Japan. Wow.
Yeah, Japan. Do we have Korea?
I think they canceled Korea. So they recently held a 70.3 in Korea.
Yeah.
That was the first time Ironman was back in that country after a few years.
So yon. I really didn't plan to continue doing full IMs, but after doing my first, it's really nothing like doing a 70.3. It's not just times two of 70.3. And it's not as painful as you think. I mean, you could attest to it. It's not as painful as we all think. But the fulfillment and the satisfaction you get from finishing is definitely better, and it outweighs the difficulties, so to speak.
So, thinking back on all your months of training, how much harder is the training then versus the race itself?
Wow, the training really, that is the time that I spent. Because when I trained for Kona, most people were already done with their races. So I was doing my 160, 180K rides alone. I was doing it solo. I was doing my 30K run solo. And it's very difficult because I was in my head a lot. And the time, it would take me the whole day to bike. The whole Saturday, I'd be in the east. I'd go home dinner time. I'd leave at 4 a.m. Go home at 6 p.m. So I think that's what's the hardest part of training time. Pero I would say that I think I overtrained for this one. I think I overtrained for this race. I don't think there are a lot of... I don't think everything I did was necessary to actually finish the race. Because... Yun, I was saying... Also, I felt fatigued. Kasi. I felt really fatigued.
Bleeding into the
Bleeding
race.
Into the race, yeah. So I realized...
But then you were sick, right? Like,
yeah, I was
sick. A few weeks before the race.
I was actually sick when I went to Hawaii.
Okay.
Buti nilang may NyQuil. I got NyQuil. I was taking it every day and nawala yung colds ko. So...
Probably it. How would you say the course in Kona is for a regular Philippine age grouper? Like, how similar or different is it to the races that we're used to doing?
It's similar in a way because it's also warm, but it's not as humid. I think during race day, it reached as high as 34 degrees.
Okay.
for some reason, many pros are saying that the reason the World Championships is in Kona is because the venue itself is unpredictable. Diba? The temperature, it could go very hot, very windy, and during the swim, it could get very...
the swells.
Oh, very rough. So, for first time in 7 years, I think, diba, it was very rough. And a lot of people were saying also that the days leading to the race, parang it wasn't as windy. Even when I did my recon ride in heavy, it wasn't as windy. It was very manageable. But during the race, it was terrible, actually. I saw several cyclists. I saw several cyclists who actually crashed their bikes that day because of the wind. But nonetheless, it was terrible, but it was still a great experience. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Do you have anyone to thank for this whole
day? A lot. Like, I shared this experience with a lot of people. Diba? From my wife, who's very supportive. My daughter for being an inspiration. Super, my family also for tolerating all those long days. I would like to thank all my coaches. I have a lot of coaches. I would consider him my head coach because I follow his programs, Coach Ige.
Yeah.
And my other coaches are si Coach Annie, the most experienced long distance triathlete, probably. I would consider her the most experienced long distance triathlete in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Both male and female. She's probably the best long distance triathlete. And my swim coaches, Coach Moy. And Coach Noy.
Okay.
I had two swim coaches. And si Don Velasco. Don Velasco was my cycling coach. He taught me how to use the power meter in less than a few months leading to the race, which was a very difficult task for a coach. And I might forget some people. I would like to thank my team Sabak for joining me during those rides also, because most of them did Langkawi. I think Langkawi is even a harder race in Kona, pero I'm really glad they did it and they spent some of those long days of training with me. Yun.
Do you think the iron distance is for everyone?
I think that every triathlete should at least try to do an iron distance once in their life. Like, as part of their bucket list. Diba? Kasi nga, I think some people might say that triathlon started out as a full distance.
As in formal triathlon.
Formal triathlon. I think the story behind it was in Hawaii, diba? There were three big major endurance races in Hawaii.
Yeah.
The Ho'ala. And I don't, parang they had the Hawaiian terms for it. They had the bike.
They had a really long bike.
Really long bike.
They had the race. Honolulu Marathon.
The Honolulu Marathon.
And then the open water swim. Yeah. Endurance swim.
Ho'ala, the Ho'ala swim.
Yeah. I think the story goes that, a swimmer, a cyclist, and a marathoner were getting drunk after a race, and they're like, okay, which is tougher?
Mm-hmm. So they basically integrated the three longest endurance races in Hawaii into one race, which became later Ironman. So yeah, I think it's advisable for a triathlete to experience the pain and the joy of the Ironman distance.
Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for representing the Philippines so well at the World Championships.
Okay, so this podcast is going to turn out to be quite short. If you just tuned into this podcast to find out the results of my spring cleaning swag contest, here's what you've been waiting for. I had a grand total of 13 people who answered my trivia questions. And not everybody answered correctly. So before I reveal who won the contest, I'm going to read the trivia questions to you and answer them so that you know if you were actually in the draw. Okay? So question number one was, what is Kikai Runner's full name? I'm going to accept variations on my name, but it's basically Noel de Guzman, or you can use my full first name, which is Noel Francis de Guzman. Yeah. Second question was, Kikai Runner has another blog. What is it? I did ask for the name and URL of the blog, but a lot of people just answered with the URL of the blog. So it's In My Pocket, and the blog address is blog.noeldeguzman.net. It's rarely updated, but it has a lot of my personal blog posts from years back. Question number three was, where did Kikai Runner go to complete a full Ironman? And it's town and country. It is the town of Roth in Germany. Yeah, some people actually put Bavaria, which is very, very specific too. Question number four. In her latest podcast, Kikai Runner had two guests. What is one thing both her guests have in common? Now, this was a doozy for those of you who didn't really listen to the podcast. It's quite funny to see some of the answers here. Some people were just shooting at the moon. Both my guests were triathletes. They're professional triathletes. The first guest was, of course, Caroline Stephan, and the second guest was Chris McCormack. They have so many other things in common aside from that they're both triathletes. Number one is that both of them attended the 2013 Ironman 70.3 Philippines in Cebu. Another thing is that they both won the 2012 ITU Long Course World Championships. And they've also both won Challenge Roth. So a lot of things. Okay, and then the next question was, what was the last country Kikai Runner was in before returning to the Philippines? And I did give a hint that it's not Thailand, but people still answered Thailand. The answer was Singapore. I transited through Singapore on my way back to Manila. Okay, so the winner of my spring cleaning swag package is Mr. Aries Austria. Well done. That was very well researched. The prize, of course, will be in the mail by next week. And that's all we have for this show. I know we went a little overtime, but I hope you enjoyed everything that we had. Of course, check the show notes for the links to everything that I mentioned. And I'll catch you on the next one.